The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those who with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but of him they did not see." And he said to them, Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was at table with them, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?" So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon." Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Earlier at Mass today, just to, it fits in with the Gospel this evening, that their eyes were opened. You've often heard that phrase. There's a story about a young sales clerk who was working in a big department store, and he was working in the men's department. And the manager of the men's department, when he returned from lunch, he noticed that the young new sales clerk had his hand all bandaged, and he wondered what happened to him. But before he could get a chance to ask him, the young salesman ran over and said, "Guess what? I've sold that suit that has been on the racks there for years." The manager said, "You mean that pink and blue suit, that hideous pink and blue?" "Yes," he said. "How did that happen?" "Well," he said, "a man came in and I gave him the suit and he felt it and he was delighted with the suit and he was very happy and off he went." And he said, "And what happened to your hand?" "Oh," he said, "after I sold him the suit, his guide dog bit me." You'll get it. Yes. His guide dog bit the sales clerk. Now you got it. Now, just very briefly, if I can just go logistically through the gospel this evening. We have two disciples. Now you can sense in the gospel this evening that Luke, who wrote this gospel for his community of the time in about the year 80, that he had a sense of humor. Because the two disciples, when Jesus came along and said, what are you talking about? What are you discussing as you walk along? And they looked at him and said, "Well, you must be from Mars. You must be the only one who doesn't know what's been happening in Jerusalem." And then Jesus, taking part in the sense of humor, said to them, "Well, what things were happening in Jerusalem?" And they said, "Oh, all about Jesus of Nazarene." And of course, Jesus was playing along with him, and they're very nice. So the disciples had a sense of humor, and Jesus had a sense of humor. Now, a couple of interesting points about the gospel this evening. The two disciples were leaving Jerusalem and they were going west. So they were going from east to west. And Emmaus is about 7 miles west of Jerusalem. So, and they were going into the sunset, they were going into the darkness. Emmaus, was a kind of a party place. It was kind of a Las Vegas of the day, where people went on a kind of vacation or to get away from all their, you know, disappointments and troubles and so on. So here were two disciples going away, very upset, very disappointed. The two disciples, who were there? We only get the name of one, Cleopas. Now, if you remember, at the crucifixion on Good Friday, a few days before that, one of the women at the cross, at the crucifixion, was the wife of Cleopas. And so, almost certainly, it wasn't two male disciples, but it was Cleopas and his wife. which makes it, you know, interesting. And they were going away very, very disappointed. Why? And this applies to us also, because it said, this is not what we expected. We expected that this Jesus who came would set Israel free. We had great expectations. How often we are disappointed with somebody in our life because they don't live up to our expectations. And what do we do? We blame the other person. We don't accept the blame ourselves. How often I have been disappointed because I put unreal expectations on people and they did not live up to my expectations, and so I was disappointed or felt let down. But, you know, when you think about it, I had no right to put those expectations. So really, you got to accept we can often be very disappointed with our own expectations. Another very, if you're thinking along with me this evening, Jesus then goes through the Mass. So he really celebrates Mass with the disciples. Why do I say that? Well, he begins by opening the scriptures, which we did this evening. Before I came down here, we opened the book and we read from the scriptures. We read the Word of God. And in a couple of moments' time, I'll go back onto the altar, and just like Jesus, I'll take bread and wine, and Jesus through me, it's not me, Jesus through me will change that bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. So we have a lovely description of the Mass. Jesus began the Mass as he went along. So what was he really doing? He was evangelizing the two disciples on the road. He was evangelizing them. You're looking at your watch. Am I going on too long? You tell me if I'm going on too long. That's okay. That's me. I'm kind of very sharp like that. I see somebody looking at their watch, I think. Oh, well, no, I must be. So I'll be as quick as I can, right? Right. Where was I? Yes. Yeah, no, yes, yeah. Come on. Yeah, yeah. He was, as he went along, see, you shouldn't sit in the front because you're too near me and I can't spot you, yeah. Now, if you were down in the back, I wouldn't see you. Yeah. So... But I'm only putting your leg. It's lovely to see you here, and hopefully you won't take offense because I give it very nicely, yeah. And it's lovely to see you. So I'm not picking on you or anybody else. Where was I? Oh, yeah, just to finish off, it's a lovely description of Jesus evangelizing the two disciples. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to be evangelists, to spread the good news. Now, I tell you a very interesting little personal story. And again, today it worked. Many years ago, going back to the year around 1980, I heard a priest saying one time, and it was one of the best talks I ever heard, the reason most people never become Catholic or never join a church is because nobody ever asked them. Nobody ever asked them. Now, you may be married to somebody who's non-Catholic. You may have a very good friend who is non-Catholic and maybe talks to you occasionally about religion. And you might have even said to them, have you ever thought maybe of becoming a Catholic? That is not asking. That is not asking. You got to put your head on the block, you got to put your head on the line and leave yourself open and vulnerable to rejection. So for example, when Jesus was alive and went along and he saw Peter or James or Andrew or the sons of Zebedee, he didn't say to them, have you ever kind of thought of following a rabbi or following somebody like me? He didn't say that. What did he say? Andrew, come with me. I want you. Eye to eye. James, come follow me. I want you. Can you see the difference? And so, over the last 37 years, I have pounced, if you use that word, on many people when I thought, this is my chance. And I approach somebody and I look him in the eye and I say, I want you to become Catholic. I want you. Don't say, you should think about it. I want you to become Catholic. And I can, hand on heart, can say to you, I've never yet been refused. As late as this morning after one of the Masses, somebody has been coming to Mass here religiously or assiduously, Sunday after Sunday, who's not Catholic. I approached him this morning, make sure I had his first name, knew it, and said, so-and-so, I want you to become Catholic, eye to eye. And he looked at me, and he said, yes. And tears began to fill in his eyes. It was a beautiful moment. Beautiful moment. So you have to leave yourself. If he had said no, I would have felt, would be normal, I'd feel disappointed and so on. But at that moment, for me, it was just a moment of pure joy. And it was a moment of pure joy for him. And his friends have suggested to him many times, oh, you ought to become one of us. But he never did. It's the direct. Well, take for example, you who are married, if somebody hadn't asked you to marry them, would you have married them? Now, if some fella hadn't asked you to marry him, and you said yes in a moment of insanity, would you have married him? When somebody says to you, I love you, and I want you to marry me, you can't refuse that. That's okay. Don't say that. But you know what I mean? Yeah, you're almost gonna. But it's a beautiful thing when you say to somebody, you gotta do it with love and with sensitivity. But when you really say to somebody that I want you to be one of us and to become Catholic, it's a personal invitation, and it always works. So there's a little, maybe think about that. You can't go out and pounce on everybody you meet and say that. But when at the right time, in the right place, and you have to use your discernment when you think that this is the time, and the Holy Spirit guides you, I think, in that. But that's just a little personal thing. And I can stand here, thankfully, and with gratitude to the Lord, and say, up to this moment, I've never been refused. And hopefully, this morning wasn't the last time. So let's stand now and pray.